Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verse 22 down through 25, and we'll look at this very briefly and give you just a little bit more about what we was talking about last week, and then we'll go back into the book of John. And for the end of the time, I'll just look at these scriptures here. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's Word tonight. Again, I need your prayers. God, help us as we get into the message tonight. God, give us that fresh touch and that fresh oil that we need to be able to just preach His Word tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 22. The Bible says, "You're seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Notice verse 23. This is where we'll kind of take our text tonight. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, or the flower thereof falleth away," excuse me. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace, your mercy, and your long suffering. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have, Lord, to be in your house tonight. Again, Father, thank you for just being able to meet ourselves together in your house. Father, I come before you tonight begging you, Father, you'd help us. Oh, God, I can do nothing within myself. Lord, you know that. I confess to you, Lord, my inabilities. I confess to you, Lord, that I am nothing, Lord, my unworthiness, Father, tonight. God, I beg you, Father, you'd take a hold of us. Oh, God, you'd use us tonight for your glory and your honor. Oh, God, that you come, bind my tongue tonight, Father, I pray. And you say those words, Lord, that needs to be said tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you anoint my voice, that I might be able to lift it to the heavens and might be able to preach the way you'd see fit, preach the words that needs to be heard here tonight. Oh, God, help us, I pray, to preach, as we say so many times, as a dying man or a dying people, God, I pray. Help us, oh, God, that we'd search the Scriptures and look in there and make sure, Lord, that we know that we're born again. Father, I beg you, if there's one here tonight that is not born again, Father, I pray, oh, God, that tonight will be the night that they'd accept you, Lord, that they'd be born again, that the Holy Ghost would go out and touch that heart, Lord, that they might be saved. Father, tonight we pray, oh God, manifest yourself here tonight. Hide me behind that old rugged cross, Lord, that I'd never be seen. Oh God, use me for your glory and your honor, and I'll give you praise, Lord, for that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want you to look with me in this scripture here. I'm going to try my best just to pick up right here kind of where we left off last week. Again, I want to remind you of what we've been preaching on. We've been looking at Nicodemus in John chapter 3 there, where the Bible talks about there Nicodemus. And we've read this scripture many times there where it says there was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus. And we talked a lot about him. We're going to look a lot more about him as the weeks go on. We're going to look a little bit more about him. But the main thought that we're going to find in this scripture here is that Nicodemus, even though he was a very religious man, he was a very well-known man, he was a very popular man, a great ruler, he still had to be born again. There's one thought in this scripture of John chapter 3. I didn't read it tonight, but you all are very familiar with it. If you've been in church any length of time at all, you're familiar with John chapter 3. Most of you remember John chapter 3, verse 16, and you're familiar with that. And so we'll just kind of refer to that. We may get back there in a minute. But the thought about being born again is all through John chapter 3. And I say one more time, you better know that you know that you know that you know that you know you're born again. Amen. You've got to know that, church, tonight. If you don't know you're born again, amen, you better find out. Amen. You better know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're born again. So I want to make sure I reiterate that. And we gave you three things about being born again, and I covered just a little bit of last, the third one there last week.
But tonight I want to remind you just a little bit about it, that there's three times in your King James Bible that you find the words born again. One time we find it, John chapter 3, verse 3, where he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again." And we said that that was the seriousness of being born again. It's a serious thing, okay? You need to understand that tonight. It is a serious thing to know that you're born again. I made this statement about 3 weeks in a row, and I'm going to make it one more time. You better listen to me very closely. It is the most important decision that you will make in your life, okay? The most important decision is not about the college you're going to. It's not about your mate. It's not about where you live. It's not about anything in this life. But it's about knowing that you're born again, okay? Listen, I'd rather have all these other things not even close to settled and know I was born again, amen? So we got, there's a seriousness there that you must be born again. Can I say one more time? If you ain't born again, you ain't going to make it to heaven. If you ain't born again, you're going to a place called hell. Amen. That's the only thing you've got to look forward to. So it is a serious thing. Number two, we find not only is it a serious thing, but it's a simple thing. Being born again ain't complicated, okay? It ain't a complicated thing. And I told you this last week, and that's the whole message last week. And God gave me that message basically just sitting right there on the pew last week about how simple it really is. We realize in that scripture, John chapter 3, verse 7 there, that Jesus told Nicodemus there, he said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." He said, "Don't worry, don't let that confuse you, okay? Don't let it kind of bog you down. Don't let you, don't scratch your head about it. Just realize you got to be born again. And the only way that you're going to be born again is if you call on my name." We took you over into the book of Romans chapter 10, and then we took you over into Romans chapter, John chapter number 1 over there, where it talks about there that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Amen. Plus nothing and minus nothing. Amen. We, listen, that's all we got to do is call on Him. So we looked at how simple it is. Now I say this, listen to me tonight. All we got to do is call on Him. What He does in making us born again, it's up to Him. He takes care of that, okay? But all you got to do is call upon Him, okay? So it's a simple thing. It's not complicated. He looked at him and said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Just call on me, trust in me, and let me take it and birth you into the family of God." Amen. Let me birth you again. Amen. What a blessing. But then we looked in 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's the reason I just want to jump right in here and read this scripture here. We find not only the seriousness of it, we find the simpleness of it, but we find the source of being born again. Now, I said this one more time. It ain't complicated, but I don't know about you, but I'd like to know how it happens. Amen. I called on the Lord as a 14-year-old boy, and I remember when before I called on Him, man, I was miserable. I remember before I called on Him, man, I was in a mess. But I do know after I called on Him and He saved my soul, amen, things picked up. Amen. It got a little better. Amen. And can I say to you tonight, it gets tweeter and tweeter, amen. The farther I go, it gets better and better, amen. Thank God tonight that He saved me one day. But preacher, how did it happen? Well, I called on Him, amen. That's the only thing I can tell you, is I just called on Him, amen. And He done the rest. Well, preacher, where did it come from? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I can show you the source of being born again. Look with me in that scripture. He says, being born again. Now, I want to notice that word being there before I go any farther. Being born again. In other words, that means this is what happened to you, okay? He's writing to these people here, if you will. Peter's writing to these scattered Jews there. And he's saying, being born again. In other words, after this has happened, he said, I'm showing you exactly what has happened to you. So this is some people that it's actually happened to. I believe I'm preaching to some folk tonight that might be born again. Amen. If you've been born again, say amen. If you can't say amen, amen, just come on up here and get saved, and then you can say amen with the rest of us. Amen. Listen, I'm glad I'm born again this morning, this evening. Amen. Thank God for that. But he says, being born again, now notice this, not of corruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed. Now, notice the word seed here. The word seed here has a thought of something, if you will, the place of beginning. When you have a seed, and all of you maybe have already planted your gardens, I don't know. I've been looking. I noticed the gardens as I was riding up down the road today. Seen a lot of corn sticking up about that high. Maybe some beans coming up, maybe getting ready to stake the beans. You know, we've got some tomato plants planted there at the office. And I was looking out the window there at them today. And boy, they're up about that high. I mean, they're doing good, getting ready to bear some good tomatoes. Somebody say amen right there. That's pretty good, amen. Them homegrown tomatoes ain't nothing like that, amen. That's spiritual, okay? But anyway, looking at that tomato plant, looking at all these things. But can I say to you, it all started with a seed. It all started with a little old thing about that big, okay? It all had to have a starting point, okay? So can I say to you tonight that if you are born again, you had a source where it started, amen? You had somewhere in your life, you had somewhere in your heart that it actually started, amen? Thank you, Lord, for the thought. It actually started down deep in your heart. Preacher, what was it? There's a seed planted there. Now, as we look at this scripture, he says these words, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed. In other words, he wants to point out to you, before he tells you what that seed was, where it started was, he wants to tell you what it was. Sometimes in order to understand something, we need to back up and see what things are not before we can see what things are. Would you agree with me there? Say amen. So as we look here, I believe what he's saying to him is not a corruptible seed. When we see that word corruptible, it means something that's going to perish. It means something that's going to pass away. Everybody remember the scripture? Jump back with me to the book of John. Let's read it. I don't want to misquote it. Let's jump back to the book of John, chapter number 1 that I read to you last week. And we'll look just a little bit more at this. John chapter 1 and verse number 13. Well, let's read verse 12 and 13 together. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Find your place, say amen. Amen. All right. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, and I say one more time, what happened right there is when you called on him, okay? Can I say this? You ain't going to receive him if you don't call on him. Amen, because he ain't going to force you. Amen. To many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice verse 13. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Those things are corruptible. Those things that I'm showing you right there goes back to chapter number 1 in Peter there in verse 23. Those things are corruptible. When Adam there was in the garden, and before he sinned, he was immortal. Before he sinned, he would live forever. There was no death anywhere around. But when Adam sinned, the Bible says that death passed upon all men, okay? And because Adam sinned, we all have sinned, okay? Every single one of us falls under that category, amen? It don't matter about your religion. It don't matter about where you're from, what your name is. You fall under that category, okay? You need to understand that. And that is where that corruptible comes from. Amen. The blood that you have in your veins right now is corruptible blood. We have sinful blood running through our veins. It's flesh. Say amen right there. So it ain't got anything to do with the flesh. It ain't got anything to do with that corruptible stuff, that fleshly stuff. It ain't even got anything to do with anything around you, because everything around us is temporal, okay? Everything around us will fall away. I've thought a whole lot about this. And we work our fingers to the bones. We work ourselves into the ground to buy or to gain, if you will, temporal things. Amen. Temporal things. Let me ask you a question, and I love to ask this question to get people's reaction, okay? Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? Huh? Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer? No. Have you ever seen, when they got to the grave, a U-Haul truck back up to the grave there and dump off some stuff in that grave? No. You ain't gonna take anything with you. Everything that you brought into this world is what you'll take out. And then we didn't bring anything in us. Amen. We didn't put, listen, when I was born, I didn't have nothing. And when I die, I ain't going to have nothing. Amen. Well, as far as this world is concerned, well, I can tell you this, I've got something in my heart. Amen. I've got Him. Amen. I've laid up treasures up there. And up there's where my treasures is at. Amen. These things down here, what I'm trying to get you to see, are corruptible things. They'll perish away. We worry about making money to buy these things, but they'll perish away. This church building that I love so much, one of these days, it's going to burn to the ground. One of these days, it's going to be nothing but rubble. Amen? You remember the scriptures over there in the Gospels where Jesus came out of the temple there and His disciples began to show Him how great the temple was and how beautiful it was. And Jesus looked at him and said, hey, listen, there's coming a day when there won't be one rock standing upon the other rock. Said, this place is going to be torn down. And that's exactly what happened. Amen. And that's exactly what's going to happen with this. It's all temporal. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I ain't born again by that stuff. I'm trying to point out to you that I'm glad I ain't born again by that old wretched stuff. That old rotten stuff, amen. That old stuff that perishes away. That old stuff that ain't gonna last long. That old stuff that ain't gonna make it, amen. You know heaven wouldn't be too good if it passed away. Amen. You sing about heaven a minute ago in them songs. We sing about heaven all the time. It wouldn't be too good if it's perishable, would it? Amen. I say glory to God for something that ain't perishable, amen. But as we read this scripture in 1 Peter, he says here, notice with me in the scriptures there, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Again, there's that point. He said, but of incorruptible. But I like that word incorruptible. Preacher, what's that word incorruptible mean? It's the opposite of corruptible. Exactly 180 degrees from corruptible. Amen. There it will not pass away. Amen. That lives in me will not pass away. Does the Bible not say over there in John chapter 3 verse 16 that we'll get to here in about a year or two when we get down there, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. Eternal life. Amen. It will never pass away. Why will it not pass away, preacher? How can I get that will not go away? How can I get that inside of me that will not perish away? All you got to do is call on Him. You got to be born again. Amen. It's all you got to do. It's that simple. All you got to do is just be born again. Amen. And the only way you can do that is call upon Him. Amen. You got to call upon Him. He says there, notice with me, He says, but of incorruptible, that incorruptible seed. Now, I'm going to go back one more time. That seed. Remember in the scriptures, and I don't remember this exact word it is, but it talks about where the seed has to die out. That seed that is sown must die. It must give its life that plant can grow. Ain't you glad Jesus gave His life for you? Preacher, where'd all this source start? You're preaching about being born again. You've been preaching on that for about 3 weeks. Where all this start at? Jesus. Jesus. Amen. It starts in Him. Amen. It sure ain't in me and it sure ain't in you. Amen. It's in Him. Amen. Read on with me. He says here, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, listen to me tonight. That seed that was planted in your heart. Now, I want to go back. Listen to me. I'm laying out to you the seed that was planted was an incorruptible seed if you're born again. It wasn't of those corruptible things that we have all around us today that people put their trust in, but it was incorruptible. However, when you go there and you get to that place, that source of being born again, what is that source that started right there at that place, that one little place where the life started? You remember last week I told you that word born has the thought of giving life. That's where life starts. That's where it begins. Where was it that the life began in your heart? I believe it's none other than the Word of God. That Word that you hold in your hand, that King James Bible that you hold in your hand, I can promise you this. Now listen to me very closely right here. I can promise you this, that if you are born again tonight, that somewhere or another you've heard the gospel preached. There's never been, now you listen to me very closely, there's never been one that's been saved without hearing the word. All the way, listen, well preacher, what about those folk before the cross? They believed in faith. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Everybody remember that? Hebrews chapter number 13 over there, I believe it is, Hebrews chapter 12, 13, somewhere in there. He says that he believed God and it counted to him for righteousness. Well, how did he believe God? He evidently heard something. Amen. Evidently God spoke to him. Amen. Evidently God spoke to him. And by that, he believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. It's always been by faith. It's not by works, but it's always been by faith. And it always will be by faith. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith. Okay? It's all that. But that right there, this word of God is where that seed begins. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I heard the seed. And now I'm going to be totally honest with you right here. I realize that when you come up and you call on the Lord, as a 14-year-old boy, I remember the Holy Ghost coming by. And he spoke to my heart. I sat about where Marshall's sitting, right about in this area here at Hicks's Chapel Baptist Church. And I remember that drawing, if you will, that voice that spoke to me there. And I got up and I come down and got in on a pew about right here. The altar is full. I couldn't get up there, but I got about right here. And Nolan Peters took that word, that Bible, and he showed me in the Scriptures, he showed me how to call upon the Lord to be saved. But I'm going to be totally honest with you right here. That wasn't the first time I'd heard it. Amen. I'd been taught that all my life. You ever heard the old saying, you've been on drugs? You drug in church and drug out of church. That was me, okay? When I grew up, from the time I can even remember until the time I got saved and wanted to come to church, that there was no question about it. When you got, listen, if it was church time, you was going to church. If you didn't go to church, you better be laying over there puking, or you better be laying over there dead, or you better be laying over there about 105 temperature, or you was going to church, one or the other. And I say, glory to God. I praise God for that, amen? So what I'm saying to you is, I believe that seed was planted way back there. Amen? Way back there. How long was it? About a month so far, about 2 months maybe, a month and a half, somewhere in there when we had the revival. And you remember on Wednesday night, that Wednesday night that it kicked off, little Max right here was up there in the choir singing. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting right there and I'm got my mind trying to get it on the message, trying to get what I'm going to preach that night. God done ahead of me, amen. I say glory to God for that. And little Matt's come down through here and looked me square in the eyes right there and said, preacher, I need to be saved. I said, glory to God, amen. But listen, I don't believe it started right there. How long have we been praying for him, sis? Years. Sister Holly and Matt both looked at me so many times going out saying, I believe God's dealing with him. Looked at me so many times, said he's been asking questions. I believe God's dealing with him. And I've been praying, God save him. I've been praying, God reach out there and save him. And the seeds was being planted. Preacher, I don't know that I believe that. Well, what about the scripture over there where Paul and Apollos, he's talking about Paul and Apollos. And Paul said he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That seed had to be planted, that incorruptible seed. You say, preacher, why are you bringing all that? Because we need to understand where it all starts. I believe tonight, I believe this from the depths of my heart, if we'll get the thought in our mind that it don't start right when we get down and ask. It's already, that seed's been planted in there. Amen. That seed's been in there. And when we cry out to it, that's when that life begins. Amen. The seed's already been planted. But thank God when I called on him and that life come in. But I believe the seed can be planted early. Amen. I do believe it. Agree with me, say amen. Well, if you agree with me, listen to me. I believe we ought to be planting seeds. I tricked you there, didn't I? Amen. I believe if we would see how important it is that seed is how people are born again, then I believe what we ought to be doing, we'll be planting seed. As I look at that word seed there, I looked it up this evening in the Strong's Concordance, and it has the thought, if you'll let me give you this definition, kind of, it has the thought of sowing. just sowing. And I preached a message years ago about just sow the seed. Just sow the seed. That's all you got to do. You know, God didn't tell us to do anything special. He just said, sow the seed. When he looked at Paul, he said, just sow the seed. He said, just sow the seed. When Haley got saved the other week, praise God for that. You've been sowing seed, ain't you, brother? Ain't you, sis? Amen. Been sowing seed. Amen. When these other got saved, when Steve's granddaughters got saved, hey, evidently somebody been sowing some seed. Amen. When you got saved, somebody had sowed some seed somewhere. Boy, I praise God for mom and daddy that sowed seed to me all my life. Amen. And give me him all my life. Amen. Thank God for that. I do. I appreciate that. But boy, I thank God for the man of God that stood behind that pulpit and got up and preached to me the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Because that's where being born again, it starts. It's by that Word being preached. The Bible says over there that by the foolishness of preaching, he's seen fit to save men. It's all by that seed, that Word. That's how you're saved. Preacher, what's the source? Preacher, what? How did it happen? It all come by the Word of God. Amen. It all come by him. Notice with me just a little bit more in chapter number 1 in 1 Peter. I want to give you just a couple more things here. By the Word of God. Let's read the whole verse again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Notice this. Which liveth and abideth forever. Boy, that's good scripture right there. Which liveth and abideth forever. That's two different words. I thought about these words here as I read this. Liveth means that it's alive. Everybody remember the lady, the Samaritan woman there that Jesus set on the edge of the well? She came to him there and he began to tell her all about her life. She said, talking about her husband, said, Jesus said, you had five husbands. One you're living with now, ain't even your husband. But she asked him in that scripture and said, Lord, give me that water that springeth up. Lord, give me that water where I thirst not again. Amen. I'm glad that water liveth. It bubbleth up. It's like that artesian well. It don't never stop. It just bubbles up. Amen. If you really get saved, you'll be bubbling up. I worry. Listen to me. I got to run a rabbit a little bit right here. I thought about this. I worry about those folk that get saved and walk around like, don't you? I do. I'm sorry. I do. Those folk that say I'm born again and I've been saved, and they walk around and say, oh Lord. I worry about those folk. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm getting out of this world, amen. Glad I'm getting out of this sin-cursed place, amen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go today, amen, if you'll come back and get us, amen. Oh, listen, I'm glad of that. I've got something inside of me that bubbles up. I've got something that liveth inside of me, amen. The Holy Ghost moved inside of you, amen. Hey, glory to God for the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about there over in the book of John, chapter number 16, I believe it is. He says there, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. I love the Comforter. But the only way that the Comforter is going to be inside of you is you've got to be born again. And that being born again has got to come by that seed of the Word of God. It starts from that little old seed. It liveth. Liveth. It's alive inside of you. I wonder sometimes if we ain't totally dead, amen? I mean, you look around at folk today, even our Baptist churches today, and the Bible says, let your name of the Lord say so, amen? I believe some big God moved in, you're going to say something, amen? I don't know how you're going to sit there, amen? I believe we ought to be living inside of us. But then he says this, which liveth and abideth. That's two different words. You can live, listen. You can abide and not live, amen? Or you can live and not abide. Those of you that's alive tonight, let's see your hand. You better raise your hand. I'm getting worried about you, amen. We're all alive, amen. How many of you abided in my house last night? Amen. See, you can be alive and not abide. Anybody sleep here in the church last night? No. You was alive, but you wasn't abiding in the church, amen. But see, when we read about the Word of God, it liveth and abideth forever. I had this discussion the other week with a fellow at work, and we was talking about the Bibles, King James Bibles and everything. And I told him I believed that that book right there, that King James Bible, I believe we're going to be judged by that King James Bible when we get to heaven. I believe that. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, I'll put it to you this way. I do not believe that God would tell you to live by one book and judge you by another. He would not be just in doing that. And he is just. Amen? So he's going to judge you by that right there. I believe that right there abides forever. You remember the scripture over there in the book of Psalms, I believe it is. He says, thy word is preserved. Huh? It's just as precious today as it ever was. And it is alive from cover to cover. Preacher, how's it alive? Because the blood's running through it. You read it from beginning to Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, and the blood runs all the way through it. Amen. There's a scarlet rope running all the way through it. Amen. And that's that precious blood. Amen. Read over there with me there in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number, what do we read there? Verse number, let me find a place here. First part of that, he says there, verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation by traditions your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or without blemish and without spot, who was fairly foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, thank God for that blood that runs all the way through. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad tonight I've got the blood applied to my heart. Amen. I thank God for that. So he says there in the scriptures that liveth and abideth forever. Let me give you this and I'll close tonight. Verse 24 compares us to that living and abiding forever. I believe it would do us good when we're thinking about being born again to realize what happens if we are not born again. What happens if you are not born again? Just as simple as I know to put it, you're going to die. That's just as simple as I know to put it. You're going to die. If you're not born again, you're going to die. Well, preacher, we're all going to die. We're all going to, they're going to bring your body up here and they're going to, I ain't talking about this old body. I ain't talking about this flesh. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. You're going to die. The Bible says one more time, talking about in Genesis over there, when Adam, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We need to understand tonight that without being born again, we will all die. Notice with me verse 24. For all flesh, you get that word, three-letter word there? Humor me one more time. What's all mean? Thank you. All. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. He didn't say there wasn't no glory there. He didn't say there wasn't no beauty there. Does the Bible not say there's pleasure in sin for a season? Oh yeah. All those things, that prestige and the popularity and all the money and all the things that you see in the world today to our fleshly eyes and to our eyes, boy, it looks good. I'm honest with you, it's good, good. Amen, I'm telling you, it's good. I'd like to drive a brand new car every day too, amen. Say, preacher, that's your flesh. Yep, it is, but I'd like to do it, amen. I'd like to have a brand new boat to go to the lake with every day too. Say amen. Huh? I'd like to have $1 million in the bank too. Not to worry about it, wouldn't you? Say amen. Don't lie to me. You would. Say amen. I believe we all would. That's flesh. That's things. That's the glory of man. That's those things that we see. That's the glory of man. And it's those glory of the man. Notice what happens to those things in the next part of that. He says there, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. In other words, it's gone. It's gone. Now, I'm preaching to folk tonight that I hope's born again. I hope everybody's born again. But I want you to understand there's people out there that's not. And they need to hear this scripture. They need to hear this gospel. That all those things out there that they're putting their faith in, it's going to fade away. The grass withereth up. It's gone. the flower thereof falleth away. We've planted some flowers there at the house, and I got to rag on Nina. She's done good this year, the best. I'm telling you, Nina and Felicia both, they've done the best this year of flowers I ever seen in my life. She's got a flower pot about that big. Man, it is beautiful. Flowers all over the place. It's beautiful. But we've got some rose bushes that we've planted back here too in different places. And if I noticed the other day that those roses would come up, boy, they'd be beautiful. The next thing you know, fall away. They're gone. They're temporal. I noticed the lilies the other day grow up, bloom, be beautiful, just fall away. Any of you men ever give you wives roses? I did my wife last week because it was at her anniversary. But you know what? I got to look at them roses today, and they're wilting. They're starting to wilt. We've kept water in them, done the best we can, and they're still wilting. Even no matter what you do, those flowers are going to wilt. That's the same way as our, if you will, our flesh and the things of this life. That corruptible seed, that old flesh, it's all going to fade away. Oh, if every one of us, if the world could get the thought today, listen to me, that everything is temporal. Everything in this world is flesh, is temporal, it's going to pass away. As I said a minute ago, the most serious thing that you have in life, the most serious thing that you'll ever do is make sure you're born again. Know that you're born again. Preacher, how can I do that? By the source, by the Word of God. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 24 one more time. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Notice this. But the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Word of the Lord will abide forever. When this world is on fire and burning to the ground, melting with a fervent heat. And it's going to happen. Melting with a fervent heat. That word will still be there. That word will endure forever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe I'll stake my life on the word. Amen. I'll stake my life on the word. And the word says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born. You must be born again. I say to you one more time tonight, and I'm doing like that last verse says there, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's what I'm preaching unto you tonight. You must be born again. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm sowing some seed. I'm putting that seed in hearts. I hope, pray to God, every one of them is just saved, but they might be somebody here tonight that's not saved. I'm sowing the seed. Preacher, I hope I get hope they get saved. Well, I hope so too, but somebody might need to do a little watering. It was a blessed time in my life, in my ministry, when I got to realize that all the Lord wanted me to do was just sow the seed. I'd worry about them folks, and I still do. It still tears my heart out. I'm going to be honest with you. It totally tears my heart out of my soul. When I preach a message, and Brother Doug and Steve, they both know what I'm talking about, and you know God's give you a message, you know there's somebody sitting in the congregation that's lost, and you give an invitation and they just will not move. And they get up and they go back out them doors there, and you know that when they go out, they're lost, and God shows you that. It breaks my heart. It tears my heart out. It does. But all he told me to do is sow seed. That's all I can do, sow the seed. If I had my way, I'd go back there and grab them by the nape of the neck and drag them up here into the altar and push them down there till they got saved. But I can't do that. All I can do is just sow the seed. The source of being born again is the seed. And that seed is the Word of God. Now, church, listen to me closely, and I'll close right here. You need to know that you're born again. First up, foremost, you must know you've been born again. But also, if you've been born again, I believe we need to sow the seed. I believe if that's the way, listen to me, if that's the way our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, our aunts, our uncles, whoever, our friends, if that's the way they're going to get saved, then I believe you and I need to be sowing some seed. I believe we need to be going out sowing some seed and bathing that seed in prayer. I believe that's what we need to be doing. Amen. Let's stand your feet tonight.